This is PodTech News. I'm Jason Lopez at the Interop Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. John Chambers, the head of networking giant Cisco Systems, is obviously biased toward networks. Some in the computer industry might take his stand that the network is the platform with a grain of salt. But it has been networks that have enabled some amazing user experiences. It would be more amazing if the web was a place where data, information, and multimedia services were easily available and reliable, not unlike starting your car each morning or turning on the TV. Chambers thinks, though, that's right around the corner.
Taking the theme that we talked about last year with reminding each of us that in order to get these productivity and the changes to occur, it isn't just about how do we do the storage capability in the data center and how do we do this virtuality capability. It's about how do you also change the underlying business process, whether that's education, whether it's manufacturing, transportation, or others that we'll talk about today. But if you don't change the underlying business process, as we said last year, you'll be disappointed in the productivity. The thing that has changed in my thinking in the last year, however, was the role that unified communications and collaboration is going to have in productivity. I would have said a year ago, really challenged, unfortunately nobody asked me, but I would have said probably 80 to 90% of the productivity would be through IP-based applications. And I think I would have been wrong. Not because we aren't going to live up to the expectation of these IP-based applications that we talked about enabled across the virtual network, but because of the role that unified communications and a new form of experience with your peers within a company, experience with your customers or your partners, is going to change in terms of collaboration, which your all's data showed as well. So literally, I would not be surprised to now see half of the productivity actually occur from the right side of that in terms of collaboration and unified communications. So trying to take this down and using the data that was very similar to what Lenny put up there, we are seeing collaborative problem solving as an example is the number one issue when you really look about effectiveness of communications. But what collaboration allows me to do is to move a lot faster. So we talked about the hospital earlier. The ability to combine the capability of data flow throughout the hospital so that your doctors can collaborate and you capture the data from literally from the blood centers, if you will, to the x-ray areas, to all the coordination across the board. And you allow the doctors to collaborate virtually in ways they were not able to before. So they don't have to come together physically from three or four different hospitals, but to share information. Collaboration will be the driver of a lot of this. This is a chart that I use when I talk internally. I talk about how we're moving out of our silos, and I'm going to come back in a moment and point out that we must move out of the same silos in IT. But our biggest challenge at Cisco, as our products begin to work across your entire environment, was, oddly enough, not external. It was internal. How did we get 50 different business units working together? How did we rolled out a product, combine it with what was our new support model? How do we get the financing capability or the go-to-market capability in the commercial channels as well? How do we combine the IT systems that will allow us to do this with a common pricing strategy? How do we combine this technology change with the ability to go in and talk about here are the business process changes? And so we started what we called segment councils to break down those barriers between the functions, but to coordinate this based upon type of customers, service provider, commercial, consumer, and enterprise. And for the first 2 years, guess what? It was painful. It was every bit as difficult as we thought it would be, which is a nice way of saying I didn't get any productivity the first 2 years. But by the third and fourth year, you began to see this process change dramatically. Now, what was fascinating to me, we just borrowed money for the first time in our history to finance a major acquisition of Scientific Atlanta. $7 billion acquisition, we actually had $20 billion of applications applied. But the people doing the ratings, the group called Standard & Poor's and Moody's, when I was going through the corporate strategy, I was flying through this and they said, back up. They said, that is your differentiation versus your Asian competitors of the future, isn't it? And these were financial guys. The point that I'm making, understanding collaboration across functional lines, because they do debt ratings across all major companies, they understood this was a sustainable differentiation and something that was very difficult to implement, especially in today's world. So as this changes and the speed of this collaboration changes and you communicate by whatever device anytime you want in any format you want and you get the information back anywhere you want in any format you want, then you see speed of decision change. You see focus not on doing the basics, but really doing the things that make a difference in your company's future and its success. It goes without saying that you cannot do this without a common IP infrastructure. It goes without saying that security in this environment cannot be based upon human intervention, because if a virus or a Trojan horse can spread throughout your entire network in 10 seconds, human intervention really is not an option. It has to be literally built into your products. They have to be collaborative, and they have to adjust as you go forward to that. So what you will see is more and more of what you basically might have considered operating system features or pinpoint product capabilities literally moving into the network. What that allows, as the network becomes the platform, is you can design applications quicker. You can begin to roll out systems quicker. You have interoperability of applications in a more effective way than before. So it's thinking about where does this go, and I'm really talking about the experience that is occurring. So it's real important from the IT side. We've got to figure out how do we make it work together. Absolutely agree with you on that. But now we've got to put ourselves in the business person's shoes or the government leader's shoes and say, how do we really change the experience of the doctor talking to the patient, or of us talking to a customer, especially in a problem situation, or you talking to your business community in terms of saying, here's what we can do together. Where this goes, I personally believe, is inevitable. This is a very aggressive state, and I clearly realize that. But I literally think you will have complete virtualization of storage, application, and processors. And when you think about it, as we discussed briefly last year, it isn't going to matter what is in your individual PC here, or your PADA device, or the cell phone, whether it's processed there, the data is stored there, the application resides there, or whether it's a server down the hall in our hotel, or at a data center here in Las Vegas, or somewhere in the World Wide Web. Why should you care? If we as the IT community set this up so with the proper security and protection, it doesn't matter, then that all of a sudden allows you to roll out applications at a dramatically faster speed. It allows the network to determine what type of device you have or how do you prefer to be communicated to. How big is the screen on your device? When I get my numbers at the end of a quarter, I probably want two numbers, my revenue number and the earnings per share. I'd love to see a whole page of PC printout. That's very nice. But if I'm only getting two things, that's fine. The point that I'm making is over time, this virtualization will allow us first in the data center, and this is why you have to go after the data center first, to make storage virtual, applications virtual, processing virtual. But then over time, if this evolves the way I think it will and it becomes scalable, you will see this change dramatically in terms of what it means. An aggressive statement, it will not be as smooth as the microprocessor. All of us understand Moore's Law. 35 years, it drove wave after wave of new IT applications, new devices, by simple price performance doubling every 18 months, or the price being cut in half if you didn't improve the performance. Your ability to do that changes things. But you've seen this also occur in the networking industry now. And what you're going to see, it won't be a smooth stair steps because you have as many more moving parts, but the price of an Ethernet port doesn't double every 18 months, double in performance, it's every 12 months. Bandwidth, as we've all seen, all you need to do is look at Japan and realize what's going to happen to pure transport. It will have commodity-like behavior. Why? Because of the services you add on top of it, especially video services, which is where a lot of the revenue will be, but also because government has a huge interest in building out these highway systems for the future, not with two-lane dirt roads, but literally with superhighways, which require tremendous speed and implementation. So what does this mean to you? The first thing it means, look at it from the business side. From a business side, all of a sudden you can deliver applications and services at a much faster speed and more integrated than before. It will allow your business counterparts to change their business models, which will give them growth opportunities and market share opportunities. It enables IT to move from managing costs or efficiencies to literally staying driving business. And I personally think technology will not only enable business changes, it may force business changes. But to do that, what it also means to us from the IT community is we have to break down these functional barriers, just like we did within our company across the board. We've got to have a common view of how these networks come together, not a telephony network separate from a data, separate from a video, separate from the wireless. Common integration with a common application capability, common security implementation. You have to literally combine the maintenance and new application development all together and say, how do we approach the whole opportunity? And how do we become agile and flexible? Because if there's one thing the CEO is going to demand, is I want to be able to step on the gas quickly and then over to the brake quickly and then back on the gas. I apologize for that in advance, but that's the market that we live in. And that's going to require collaboration, not just across the various IT communities that you have here, representing this room, but collaboration across your IT groups, just like my business units in engineering, but across every other functional groups, because the interdependency is no longer one IT group to one business community group. Most of my productivity from IT goes across multiple functions, across sales and service and manufacturing as we look forward. So you really think about this. Any application from any device to any screen, the ability to change from transactional communications to literally collaboration, information sharing to literally an experience in terms of how it goes forward. To do this, I view, you have to approach it with an architectural point of view from the vendor side. I don't know any other way to do it. And you had to start 5 and 7 years ago. You had to think about layers 1 through 7 coming together. What does that mean? But you also had to take this technology, which we dearly love, and we do, and transform it in a way the business user can take advantage of it. And there's nobody more difficult than the doctors to get to understand how to use technology. So we have to take it and put it from a business transactional point of view at the same time you do the other way. Intelligent information networks, way more than a concept. In essence, you are constantly moving functionality from the operating system in or from other applications into the network, and it'll be an ongoing process. What this allows you to do, if it plays out the way that we believe that it will, is you design applications focusing primarily on the applications, not on the security elements, not on the routing elements, the other things that really don't add value to the applications. Now, you know where I'm headed with this. If you move the majority of that cumbersome stuff out, you not only can develop the applications quicker, you can also bring a new application to market with interoperability of other applications quicker. So all of a sudden you realize this is why the network is going to become the platform. Over time, we'll be transparent. You'll figure it out from the IT side how to make it transparent, and we will together, hopefully. But it allows you to think through it. Now, this has to be modified slightly in terms of the architectural approach as the network becomes the platform, depending on if you're a service provider, IP NGNs, understanding what does that really mean, because it's different in the service provider environment than how it's going to be implemented in the consumer marketplace. In the consumer marketplace, you think about the whole office. You think about how this ties together, the connected home, quad play within the home, but how do you share the 3 or 4 TiVos I have in the room in my house with the 7 or 8 PCs with the common security where every electronic device past a certain price point will be connected to the internet? How do we really connect this in a way that allows for efficient sharing of information and the experience in the home we want? Not just in my home, but my ability to watch the Final Four, or a game that none of my teams made it to, perhaps a Duke and North Carolina basketball game, and to be communicating with my family in North Carolina who unfortunately roots for the wrong team. But the ability to think how that changes, not just within the home, this experience, but the whole experience together. And think about as you take this out in the commercial marketplace and what's going to happen there in terms of smart business communications architecture. Often commercial customers are very leading edge, but they don't have the IT organization at the same level. You've got to think through, what does that mean architecturally? And finally, what does the services-oriented network architecture mean? How you literally allow for this to occur both from virtualization within networks and the application focus that is going to be needed as you move forward.